Hi.
Hello.
Oh, I'm going to get a swivel nap, right? Pastor's so good at looking at everything. I think maybe we'll move this up so you can see.
Would it be easier if we all move to the other side of the room for you?
That would be beautiful. I wasn't going to ask you, but. Oh, that's so nice. How's everybody?
Good.
Good. How about the sermon this morning? Anybody moved by that? That was wonderful. That was hand-raising wonderful. And he spoke about judging ourselves. It reminded me, I'm supposed to turn this on, right? I am so klutzy. Okay, I can't get it out of my pocket. It reminded me of a time I was fixing the bed. And in my heart, I was grumbling about someone in the church who had hurt us. And so I got my upper corner. I was coming around the foot of the bed to go get the other side. You guessed it. I slammed my toes into the foot of the bed. And the Lord immediately spoke to my mind, and I knew in my heart, judge yourself, or I'm going to judge you. He gave me that gentle little reminder. More than speaking to you today, I want us to talk together. So when I ask a question, usually it's not going to be rhetorical. I would like you to really answer me. You're also going to hear funny words come out of my mouth. That's carryover from the stroke. And when I read over my notes yesterday, I had to laugh out loud because in that phrase, funny, I did a typo, F-U-J-N-A-M-Y. Can anyone pronounce that? That's what I'll be today. So just go ahead and chuckle at them if it makes you laugh. I do, you may as well. See, I forgot this part. It is from my stroke. I am not trying to emulate Nancy Pelosi, just in case you I enjoy kids' stories, and I like to start with something like, this is one from a long time ago. This guy is in his 30s, has been in the military, married, and is a daddy. But he went to Portville Christian School, which is right down the street from Portville Library. Well, a few days before Easter, his mother picked him up and stopped at the library and said, Jeremy, I want you to take these books in to return for me. Now, this is a 5 or 6-year-old. When he came back out and got in the car, he said, Mom, it's so sad. It's just really sad. She said, what's up, Jeremy? He said, the library's not going to be open anymore. She said, how do you know? He said, there's a sign on the door, closed for good, Friday. Now, let's just take a few seconds and talk to the Lord. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you that you love us with a love that is unfathomable and never ending. And what you do is for our good. And as we talk together today, Father, may it be pleasing to you. And may we see ourselves more clearly, and also see more clearly what you want in our hearts and our lives. May you bless us as only you can. And I pray that I would just be your speaker, and that you would speak through me, and that your will would be done. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have hired Pam to be my scribe. So she's going to come and write on the whiteboard. Here are the markers. What do we want from God? Just think for a minute. What are some things we want from God?
Peace.
Okay, she's going to list these. We want peace. Why do we want peace? Because of all the turmoil, huh? Autumn, did you raise your hand? Oh, I'm sorry. Come on, what else do we want from God? Jody?
Meek spirit.
A meek spirit, very good.
Salvation.
Salvation, yes. Very good. What else do we want from God?
Answers.
And we want them to be the way we'd like them, right?
And we want them today, not...
Yes. I have here answers to my prayers. What, how, and when I want them. That's really what we want, isn't it? What else do we want from God?
Wisdom.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
I was
going
to say direction.
Direction. Okay, you're in turmoil. What's one of the things you asked for? Oh, it's there. Huh. I'll be okay tomorrow. All right, we're going on a trip. What do we want?
Safety.
We're sick. What would we like the answer to be, Autumn?
Help.
Yeah, we want help. We want to be healed. The repairs on the car cost a lot more. What do we need? What do we want from God? Yes, finances are his provision, right? We want him to take care of it. We want things to go right, don't we? Sometimes after my prayer, I laugh at myself and say, Patricia, that's heaven. This is earth. We're so often, it's like a wish list. Instead of truly praying with God. We want good relationships. Mm-hmm. We want our children to turn out good. And I also had wisdom there. Anything else that we want from God that you think of?
Courage and strength.
Anything else come to anyone's mind?
Mercy.
Yes, we do. Yes. Yes?
He wants food.
Oh, I agree.
Amen.
Yes. We love food, don't we, Trevor?
Especially for noodles.
Especially what?
For noodles. I love for noodles.
Oh, I do too. They are so good.
Especially with butter.
Uh-huh, yum, yum. Thank you, Pam.
It would be even better if you want to put some salt on it.
Really? Well, do you know, our oldest daughter, she bragged to her cousins that she liked ketchup on everything. And her cousins, they were all eating, and her cousins said, everything? She said, yeah, anything. And they said, even ice cream? So she put ketchup on her ice cream. And her father made her finish it. She never did that again.
Ketchup on her ice cream, bleh.
Uh-huh, yeah. So this list could go on and on, couldn't it? The things we want for God. And there are certainly plenty of verses that tell us to come to the Lord. With our burdens, with our heartaches, with our desires. One of my favorite verses is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That doesn't mean you get to take a nap. Rest in your spirit for what you're going through. A couple of years ago, in my time with the Lord, I had finished praying, And it had to be the Lord who spoke to my heart and said, you want all these things from me. And they're all good things. I want his provision. I want his peace. I want my grandchildren to all grow up to love the Lord and honor him and live for him. I want, like right now, we're praying for Bonnie with this terrible itching thing. Wouldn't we like relief for her? And not long ago, Ashley found out about kidney failure. That's a sock in the gut. We want relief for these people. So I had given him, I mean, I start out the way we're supposed to, praising him and thanking him for good things. But he spoke to my heart and he said, what about what I want from you? And that's what I would like us to talk about. What does God want from us? Nobody likes a one-sided relationship. In fact, is it a relationship if it's all one-sided? If you give, 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 and the other person never takes, it's not a real relationship. Jesus wants to have a wonderful relationship with us. And he has given us in his word. A gal at Glenda Bible College had brought a notebook from there for me, so I took that. And starting then, every time I came across, I didn't necessarily go looking for them on purpose, but when I'd come across a verse where God said something he wants us, his children, his followers, what he would like from us, then I'd write it in my notebook. And the list is getting bigger and bigger. And it's nothing that cannot be accomplished, because he does it in us and through us, through his Holy Spirit and his mighty power. So I'm going to give you a paper at the end. And this over this next week, we're going to do this again next week. I want you, just the verses you come across, to list the things that God wants from us. And it's been eye-opening. And so we'll talk more about those next week. And please try to remember to bring them along back, because that's what our time together will be based on. We're not going to be able to cover everything or in great depth, but please go to Titus 2. We're going to talk about some of the things God wants from us. We'll start here with Titus chapter 2. And I'd like us to read verses 3, 4, and 5 together. Titus chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5, and I mean together out loud. Okay? The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. When you first read it, this is a tall order, isn't it? What? You expect all this from me? Obey my husband? Let's go back to verse 3 and start there. We are, as older women, and you can decide for yourself what category you're in. If you're an older woman who should be teaching, or a younger woman who should be learning. And no matter what age you are, there's someone younger than you. So there's somebody looking at you. Can you think back in your life and think of women you looked at? Oh, you know this? I think back to a dear, sweet uncle of mine. My mother had 5 brothers, and he was the sweetest one of the sweetest men I ever met, but his wife was a nag. And I remember even as a child thinking she's not very nice to him. And we see those things. Or we see things where women are respectful and honor their husbands. And those things should penetrate our minds. So no matter what kind of life we're living, we are teaching the younger people because they are seeing. We were not always older. Goodness, I'm by far the oldest person in here. But I was not always this age. One day I was your age. And I was looking at others. But younger women were looking at me. So it depends where you put yourself. The aged women are supposed to be teaching the younger women. How is teaching done? What's one way teaching is done?
By example.
By example. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best way. By someone's example. Verbally. And a student can ask questions. Mm-hmm. Those are the three things that came to my mind. But they should be in behavior as becometh holiness. We have to really believe God and what he said in his word and live according to how he has told us to live, to be an aged woman that whose behavior is holy. We can't pretend. People see right through that, don't they? They do. And we need to grow in that, and we need to have holiness or be holy. Not false accusers, not given too much wine, and be a teacher of good things. He wants us to be, not say, but be. We know what holiness is and if isn't before we're able to practice that. But the dictionary tells us that holiness is sound, belonging to or coming from God. It's being consecrated, sacred, spiritually pure, untainted by sin. What's the only way to accomplish that?
Through God.
Through allowing him to work in our hearts and lives. Through not only reading his word, but applying it to my life. That's holiness. And then we should think about those things and mull them over. You know, often at night when I wake up, Pam and I were talking about this at lunch, there are different things that go through my mind, and I think to myself, if I would quiet myself during the day and allow thoughts like that to be in my mind, then God could maybe speak to me during the day and I wouldn't have to be working at night. We get so busy, don't we? And we forget to ask God what he wants from us during the day. But that can be accomplished. Ways we learn are through our pastor, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and then through wise people, through older women who are wise. Let's go to Psalm 111. Please. Psalm 111. I was so honored by Pastor's perception of our daughter who works in the hospital. I think she's terrific, but it's nice to hear when somebody else does. Psalm 111, verse 10. Let's read that together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Where does wisdom begin? With the fear of the Lord. Doesn't mean to be afraid of him. but when we fear the Lord, we have deep respect, love, honor, and awe, and treat him with high regard. I don't know about you, but I really hate teasing about God and Jesus. You know, jokes that belittle my Heavenly Father, my Creator, God of the universe. We should treat him with high regard. I know, don't I, what I should be following, what I should be doing. We're like the kids, aren't we? How many times have you said, didn't I tell you not to do whatever? God has to say that to us, doesn't he? Haven't I instructed you to be godly, to follow me, to live righteously over and over? But we are his children, he understands. Does doing what is considered holy make one holy? No. Doing things that are holy has to be a result of being holy. And we can only be that through Jesus. What God commands should be a result of salvation, being in the Word of God personally, and the obedience to that word. Deciding, making the right choice to do. And as you do your devotions and write those things down this week that God wants from you, you need to make the decision if you're going to obey him and do what he'd like from us. We also know that being holy doesn't come from hearing a sermon. And perhaps the Let's just say the preacher says, holy women shouldn't wear shoes. Now, some of you would like that. Right? I would in the summertime. Sometimes I come out in the morning and I don't put slippers on, and Pastor Hain says, aren't your feet cold? Yeah, but it feels good, no shoes. Okay, holy women don't wear shoes. Is not wearing shoes going to make you holy?
No.
Not at all. We don't become holy by hearing a sermon. So I want to be holy, so I'm not going to wear shoes. And that reminded me of a time a woman in our church told me her husband didn't believe women should wear shoes with their toes showing. Well, they happened to sit on the opposite end of the pew that I sat on, and one Sunday I looked on below behind and I thought, oh my goodness, Mr. So-and-so, oh, he's not going to like my shoes. What am I going to do now? Because my toes were showing. And then it hit me. If I try to please everybody, right, Mr. Van, we can't please everybody in the church. It's not going to happen. Our goal needs to be to please the Lord. Please the Lord, if it's okay with him, those people are going to have to deal with those things. But we need to be sure it's okay. We rationalize sometimes, don't we? And we allow ourselves to do things, say things, think things. It shouldn't be going on. We need to grow to be more like Jesus. It goes on to say that the young women should be taught to not be false accusers. How are we going to do that? What's the easiest way to do that? Yeah, to not do it. I cringe when I hear people speaking against someone in front of their children. What an example. And you can't erase that out of their minds. It's there. We need to clip our lip or do whatever you have to. Because Satan wants to use anything against Christianity, against godly living. And we don't want to be used by him. So we need to be an example. Teachers of good things. Goodness gracious, that's also by example. And let's make it clear, none of us is ever going to accomplish being perfect. Anybody get there yet? We're not going to be. But that being perfect should not be our goal, but we're supposed to be a teacher of good things. What are some good things? Let's just name a few. What are some good things we should be doing that are an example to the younger women?
Purity.
Wonderful. What's another?
Charity.
Wearing godly clothes.
Good. Yes, being modest.
Showing obedience to our husbands.
Yeah. Yes.
Being honest.
Being honest, that's very good. Do you know it's not always easy to be honest? My prime example of that is Monica, and if you don't remember her from way back when my husband retired, they came home to help us move. Monica wanted to be the last guest at the parsonage and the first guest at our new little place in Oleana. So they were at church with us. In fact, I believe your husband had Mark speak on Wednesday morning. But all three of our other children could sing. And Monica can sing. She just has a hard time keeping her part if you sing another part. And so she came to me one day. She was maybe 10 or 11. And she said, "Mom, I can sing, right? Can't I sing?" And I thought, what do I do? And the Lord said, "You tell the truth." And I held her close. He said, "Sorry, honey. You can't." That was one of the hardest things I've ever done as a mother. But telling the truth, who gave me that example? Was that you, Robin? Tell the truth? Okay, Ms. Caleb, thank you. And then I encouraged her to learn to play my flute, and she learned to play better than I play. And I often thought, if I hadn't told her the truth, she'd have known in her heart, but she maybe would never have been able to admit that. And so if you hear her sing, it sounds fine, but she can't handle if somebody else is singing a different part. We must be truthful, but how are we supposed to speak the truth? In love. In love. We can only love beautifully if we allow the love of our soul to control our hearts and lives. When you speak to your children, it should be in love, even if it's discipline. Okay. Our lives in general should be an example of that. Does anyone have an example of seeing a holy woman and being an influence on you that you would share with us?
There was a lady at Portville Baptist, Ruth Richmond. She just died recently.
Yes.
And she was our Sunday school teacher for a woman's group. And her lessons were just so practical and so good and so instructive to the rest of us who were
very good.
Much younger than.
Very good. And you could watch her and follow her example. Anybody else? Jody.
I don't know if my grandmother was saved, but my great-grandma, she always gave reverence to my grandfather, but always a quiet woman.
Very
she
good.
She was always really a good homemaker.
Good. Anyone else?
Here in this church, we had Laura Gordon and then Mrs. Hoshkiss, Linda Hoshkiss, was here. Just wonderful women who had a very good example of their lives and, you know, the things that you're talking about, being good teachers suggestion to their husbands, and it was a good example for us growing up.
Very good. Very good. That's what we need. And that's what each of us should and can become. Comes with growing, comes with being in the Word and obeying the Word. And then the next thing after teacher of good things is to be what? Sober. That doesn't mean drink, but don't get drunk. It means being temperate, not extreme or extravagant, not flashy, but showing self-control and having emotional balance.
Do you know men are feeling is working on self-control?
Will you say that again,
please? Our family is working on self-control.
Very good.
Our family is working on.
Good job.
Mommy,
my husband. Okay. Because it's a good thing, isn't it? And you're learning. That's good. That's part of being sober, spiritually sober.
But it's kind of hard to have self-control, either when it hurts.
It's not. Not hard.
When you say that it is.
Oh, it is, yes. But it's, do you know what's so good for you? Just believe me. In a few years, you'll say Mrs. Hayden was right. So being sober, being temperate, not extreme or extravagant, not flashy, showing self-control and having emotional balance. And then the next thing is to be obedient, to love their husbands. Maybe some of you inwardly are rolling your eyes. It's not always easy, is it? Sometimes I sit and wonder, what do I do that irritates him? If I ask him, he can't think of anything, but I know I do. I have to, I'm so human. Sometimes when I sit down to have my personal time with the Lord, I say, oh Lord, I am so human.
If you're my dad's girl wife, you're the way to take them off. Just keep on ringing the doorbell.
Okay, well, try to remember that. We are supposed to love our husbands. Now here at Black Creek, we've been well trained in the difference between love and charity. Love is supposed to be deep and rich. Love is something you only know when you have it for someone. Maybe not only, but to love him. When you love someone, how do you treat them? Yes, nicely. Better than yourself. It's good. Treating as we want to be treated. Yes, Trevor. Yes, that's a very good verse. It's very true. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Thank you.
We were done at verse a long time ago.
I'm glad.
It's a verse for our family.
Yes, it's a very good verse for the family. And then we're supposed to love our children.
Yes, we love your children.
Love does not mean indulge them. What does love mean when you love your children? What are some ways you show it, Autumn?
Being kind to them.
Taking care of them. What are some other ways? More moms, what's a way you show love to your children?
Discipline.
Discipline, yes.
Protecting them and sometimes even from themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What else?
Saying no when it's hard.
Yes. Yes. Someone said discipline. Love does include discipline. Develops their self-control. When they learn that they need to be controlled, then they can learn self-control. My kids used to say, how come I have to obey you? And I used to tell them, you're never going to learn to obey God if you can't learn to obey me. And we need to carry it out. Not just threaten them, but do it. A story that came to my mind, we were at the church in Harrisburg, and Jack was part of the Boy Scouts, and they were going to take a trip to Cornwall, Pennsylvania. There was an old furnace, I forget what they did there. It was run by a huge water wheel. My one brother lives in the town, and Jeff was really excited about going to Cornwall because Uncle Ron lived there. And he was very disobedient. I can't even remember what it was. But immediately the Lord brought to my mind, you tell him he cannot go on that trip. And I could not bring myself to do it. And I was wrong. The next day, the trip was canceled. Because I thought that was really strong. And I thought, had I obeyed the Lord, I'd have set that discipline in place, but it would have turned out okay because nobody got to go. We need to obey God's voice when he speaks to us. And to know he's speaking to us, we have to be close to him. Our hearts have to be open to him, and we need to be obedient to him. So it means not to indulge them. I think of a woman named Cindy. She had three sons, and she was good to her sons, but she had two daughters that she indulged. Whatever they wanted or needed, she dropped everything, and ran to meet their needs. If they were getting ready, it was back when big hair was in style. They were getting ready and ran out of hairspray. She would drop everything and run to town and buy them hairspray so they could finish their hair and go to school or wherever. And she felt she was loving them, but what she was doing was indulging them. When they got older, then they wanted bigger things, more sinful things. They wanted to go to the dances. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. They ended up both dying in their 20s of drug overdose. And I just feel as though it's from indulgence that this mother called love. She overindulged them. That doesn't mean we don't ever do anything for our children. Goodness gracious, when you love, you give. But it should not be overindulgent. We need to love our children in the way that God loves us. God gives good gifts to us. But he doesn't give us our way all the time because he knows it's not good for us. We need to be mature enough to understand that in dealing with our children. Love will include discipline. Disciplining in the right way. Not disciplining because you're angry, but disciplining because you want to bring about the right action from your children. As God disciplines us. Discipline is training that develops self-control, Caleb. There you go. So when mommy disciplines you, she's helping you to learn to control yourself. Because if they know discipline's coming, if they don't obey, it helps them to control themselves. And that takes work. I need to put my children and their training above what I want to do, or what my likes and dislikes. Oh my goodness. Okay, then we're to be discreet. That means be careful about what we do and say. Have good judgment in what we choose to do or not do. Be prudent. That means exercise good judgment and have carefully manage our lives and our households and our children. The next one is being chaste. That means to be virtuous. Have godly virtue, good attributes in our bodies, in our lives, because we belong to God, to be pure, modest, and not flirty. There's a fine line between having fun and being flirty. You need to find what that line is and try to not step over it. What, honey?
Don't.
Okay, all right, well. Talk to me later. And then we're to be keepers at home. I didn't take a lot of time to delve into this because that's such a wide phrase. By your interaction with the Lord, according to His word, you understand what being a keeper at home means. Then we have Proverbs 31, where the woman did a lot of things, didn't she? She wasn't only at home, she sold things, she made, she was a seller of purple, she bought a field. And so we need to find where that line is for us. But our home needs to be important. Home, not a house, though our house should be a home. When your children enter, they should feel totally loved, accepted, comfortable, totally embraced by the love they feel on being there. Keepers at home should be a priority. Our homes should match our spiritual maturity. There should be warmth, love, acceptance, along with the discipline and the things that need to be corrected. Decent, clean, orderly, welcoming, warm. Home should be a beautiful word. Good means to be, where am I? I'm down with the men, but I want to go back to good. Good is to be suitable to its purpose. Our lives, the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we interact, how our homes are kept, should be suitable to the purpose and beneficial to those around us. Honorable. Honorable in all those things. Then go back to Titus 2, verse 5. The last part that starts with the word that, after husbands. Let's read that together. Verse 5, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I love when God tells us why He wants us to do something. He gives us instruction here. This is some of what God wants from us. Does He deserve our best? Does He deserve what He asks of us? He sure does, after all He did for us. Once again, in the message this morning, as Pastor expanded on God's great love and what He did for us, He deserves us to do this, but He tells us He wants good behavior, holiness, not false accusers, teachers of good things, being sober, to love our husbands and children, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Just think about that for a minute. How I behave can reflect on God's word, either good or bad. And we can accomplish it through the Holy Spirit of God working in us. We can't expect to accomplish everything all in one swoop or in a week. It's not a cram course. That's why it's called growing. Spiritually growing in the Lord and becoming what He has created us to be. So in this next week, in your time with your Heavenly Father, and I've said it here before, it's one of my favorite terms for God. My father was not fatherly. We won't go into that. But when God showed to me that He is my Father, I can go to Him for anything, any care, any heartache, any burden. I can give it to Him, and He loves me and holds me and shows me the path to take. And He not only does that, but He's with me in it. And so this week, while you're going through those things, just jot down. If you're in a part of Scripture right now and you're time with the Lord that isn't prone to that, you can go to Proverbs. There are a lot in Proverbs and Psalms and in the Pauline epistles. A lot of things God wants from us. Once you start, it really gets wonderful. My book is getting fuller and fuller. I'll bring it along in case we run dry, though I don't expect us to. I hoped I had enough notes today, and I had too many. I didn't get to say everything I'd like to. But thank you for allowing me to share my heart with you. Next week, we're going to do more sharing with each other and share what God showed us, what He wants from us to improve our relationship. Isn't that what we want? To be in a right, beautiful relationship with our Heavenly Father. Any comments before we close in prayer? Well, Father, thank You for meeting with us. Thank You that You are everything we ever hoped to be. And thank You because You created us. You know that we're never going to be perfect, but we know that You want us to grow to be more and more like You. I pray that would be our heart's desire. That in our day-by-day living, whether it be at school, at home, shopping, alone with You, at church, wherever it is, that what we choose to say and do, to not say and not do, would be pleasing to You. That our hearts and lives would be constantly aware of You and know that You are with us. And You're rooting for us, Lord, to be a good testimony of Your name. Pray that this week, as we see these verses, Father, that You will open our eyes and that we remember them through the day. Bless each one. Thank You for each one. And may we please You in Jesus' name.